Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mindful Metal Jacket, and this is the ninth and hopefully final take of this introduction. I should start a Patreon where I release the bad outtake beginnings of this podcast, because it's really something. It's like the scene in Swingers where Mike tries to call that girl over and over again. One of the funniest scenes in any movie ever. Hey, speaking of movies, if you haven't already, go check out Joe and Ron on Talk Movies on my YouTube. Go visit my YouTube page and subscribe. And also, if you're not already doing it, you can watch this podcast on the Laugh Button's YouTube. Go subscribe to that as well. Go over to YouTube, subscribe to Joe List, subscribe to the Laugh Button. And thank you for listening. I jumped right into some business right away. Appreciate you guys listening. If you are listening, if you're not listening, you're not hearing this. It's like magic. It's like a magic trick, really. I've talked about this before here, but it's so fascinating that I'm sitting here in my living room talking into a microphone. And then in 2 days, many people, relatively many, will be hearing the sound of my voice. Magical. Anyways, thanks for listening. If you're not already subscribed, subscribe to the podcast. That really helps. Leave a 5-star review. Write something nice. It helps with the algorithm. Maybe tweet it out. Post it on Facebook, Instagram. Spread the word, because it's a very small podcast, but I'd like it to grow, because I think there's some good stuff in here. I think there's some really interesting, helpful stuff, and I appreciate everyone that has listened and reached out and said how much it's they've benefited from the podcast. I benefit from it. I enjoy the conversations, and today's no different. Brendan Sagalow is on for a second time. You might be thinking, Brendan Sagalow again? Wasn't he on before? Well, that was almost a year ago, and Brendan has a new album out called Not Now, More Than Ever, and it comes out tomorrow, Friday, depending on when you're listening to this, Friday the 22nd, I think it is. Go get it wherever you listen to albums. Stream it, download it, play it. Brendan is absolutely hilarious, as you'll hear. This is a really fun episode. We did a lot of ball busting, a lot of laughs, but also some really, I think, good, interesting conversation. Brendan is 39 days sober at the time of recording this. I am in my ninth year of sobriety, so we talked a lot about that. There's a lot of me encouraging him to get group help, so we talk about that a lot, but we also talk about therapy and insecurity and all those good things. It's a really, really good conversation. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I would love it if you went and got his album and listened to it. And I hope you're doing well. Hope springs eternal. Am I right? I never want to get political on this show because I don't want to alienate people. Though, trigger warning, towards the end, I do suddenly and angrily give some feelings towards the assault on democracy at the Capitol. So be warned, if you're a supporter of people killing cops and smashing in the doors at federal buildings and trying to reverse an election, well, you may not enjoy that part of this. But if you're, you know, a regular person, not such an extremist, you won't probably have a problem. But anyways, my point is, I don't want to get political, but it's the first full day of a new administration, and however you voted, whatever you think, maybe it'll be a nice turnaround. Keep an open mind if you didn't vote for this gentleman, Biden. But I, for one, am excited to have a leader who is at least somewhat concerned with this pandemic that's now killed over 400,000 people. So I hope that things will get a little bit better. I am ready for normal life again. So I have hope. Not a ton of hope, but some hope. Hope is important, I think. And I'm trying to be in the solution as much as I can be, taking care of myself and those ones around me, and I'm trying to be as compassionate as I can be to everybody, as I hope all of us are, people that disagree. Again, there's a difference for me of policy disagreements and the feeling of smashing in a federal building and taking over and hanging the vice president, as much as I don't enjoy the vice president, the former vice president, I should say. Well, now I'm just rambling. I'm off in la-la land here. But anyways, the point is, I have some hope. I hope you do too. I am trying to see things from all sides and be compassionate of all people, as I hope you are. And I appreciate you listening is the point I'm trying to make here. And I apologize for rambling. Let's get to the show, shall we? Here's a conversation with my friend Brendan Sagal. A little more business. I have a show next Wednesday, Royersford, Pennsylvania, January 27th. And then I'll be at Key West Comedy, February 11th through the 13th. If you want to come out to those, you're welcome to. I'd love to see you there. I'm nervous about them, but I think it'll be fun. Well, Key West anyways. Whew, I might have to do a 10th take of this. My God, I'm crumbling, folks. Anyways, let's get a nice quote about hope, life, love from my boy, Henry David Thoreau. You know how much I love him. If we will be quiet and ready enough, we shall find compensation in every disappointment. Try that on some for size, folks. Oy vey. Well, this intro is giving me anxiety. I thank you for listening. I'm grateful. And hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things. Shawshank. Enjoy this conversation with the always hilarious and wonderful and delightful and now sober Brendan Sagal.
This is it. We don't need to say
we're recording.
Yeah, that's it.
Sorry, yeah, I don't.
I'm still wet. I got a wet beer because I just got out of the shower.
Oh, okay.
I was fucking
trying to turn me on here.
Yeah, I was just rubbing one out. Hey, is that a new place?
No, I just cleaned it up because we're stuck in it. You know what I mean?
I do. All right. Why do you look like Greg the Hammer Valentine?
Man, no, I was only 10 years older, I'd get that reference.
Who is, no, it's not Greg the Valentine, it's the other guy, Ronnie Garvin, I think.
I don't even know who that is either. No. That's so funny. You ever hear like a reference and I don't understand who you're talking about, but the way you said it made me laugh either
that's
way.
How,
so like the rhythm of it made me laugh.
That's how I always got. I'm such an unattractive human being.
I think you're a good-looking guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you just got out of the shower. Give yourself a little bit of credit. You got to, you know, your hair has to form itself within the day.
I got to swoop it up a little bit. But Nick DiPaolo was a guy that was always like, I worked with DiPaolo for years, and he would have references that I had no idea what he was talking about, but he just says it in a way that I'm like on the floor laughing.
It's so funny, man. It's like, it doesn't even matter what they're saying. Should I turn this ring light on? How's that look?
It looks exactly the same. Yeah.
No difference. Like
in Back to the Future 2, when Doc takes his mask off and he's like, I was afraid you wouldn't recognize me. And he looks identical. Great joke.
That's great. That's great. And I get that.
Yeah. But Did you watch Back to the Future? Are you a Back to the Future guy?
I love Back to the Future. And when the pandemic started, I rewatched all of them.
Yeah. They're pretty great.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So I got to ask, you have bright orange, it looks like, hair.
I think yellow. It's yellow. Yeah, I bleached
and then
it.
You have fingernails are painted also.
Well, I'm not going to kid myself here. I want to be completely transparent and present and me and myself. It is all for how cool I think I look aesthetically, but the nails do have there is a reason. I bite my nails like crazy because of the horrible anxiety that I'm always feeling. So I went to the the nail place right down the street from me. And I just walk in and I go, can you fix these? Can you make this look good? Because I'm incredibly insecure about it. And I've had multiple women like, women won't call you fat or anything, but they will call out your nails. It really hurts my feelings. People go, oh, your nails are horrible. You bite them down. Like, look how small that is.
Ah,
I know, it's gross. Don't do that. So,
yucky.
All right. Well,
but you're showing me something to say it's gross. So you can't, when I say, yeah, that is gross. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
That's true. All I can do is react to your reaction.
Love this because it sounds like, you've been like really meditating, getting into some spiritual shit. But at the same time, it seems like you're losing your mind.
And that's exactly what it is, I think. So I go down to the nail place and I go, can you fix these? And they don't even like speak English, but they were like, they said yes in a way that made me feel like they said no, but they fixed it up. And then I was thinking, well, if it's painted, because I used to just paint one nail and that nail always grew because I never was biting it because I didn't want nail polish in my mouth.
Right.
So I said, hey, can you paint my nails? Now I did the black and blue because I'm gay. So that's, you know, so I'm not going to fully, you know, but the whole time I am getting my nails done, saying to the woman, I'm going, you think this will help me not biting my nails? This is why I'm doing this. You know, I'm like trying to prove to her like some other I'm trying to like look cool to her, even though she right. knows what the deal is.
And so, so many more questions. So, is it working? Are you not biting your nails right now? Because
I haven't bit my nails in 11 hours, I'd say. Since I did it, I haven't bit my nails.
Oh, so this is fresh. Like you just got that done.
Yeah, I did it yesterday.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And as for the hair, I don't know. I used to think, like, as I used to do this in high school, and I used to think, like when I did it in high school, I was like, oh, you know, I'm a fan of Eminem. I'm a fan of punk rock music. They do this all the time and that stuff. But when I did it this week, it feels like, because I haven't really felt in control of myself, you know, like I haven't felt in control of my surroundings or my life. And I think I did this to feel some sort of control that I can do something. If that makes any sense, maybe I'm just trying to reason with being a douchebag, but.
No, I think it makes sense. I mean, if that's what you're feeling, that's what you're feeling. So it wouldn't make sense for me to say that doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess it makes sense to you. That is something you control, your hair color and your yeah. nail color. And one thing you can't control is how gay you are. And that's yeah. really on full display here.
Yeah.
No, that's problematic. I take that back. And it's also, by the way, problematic Fine. Saying that the nail people don't speak English. That's a little fucked up that you said that.
They didn't. At what point is it problematic, or are we just creating the world? At what point are we like, you got to know what this world was for me? I'm not going to go. I didn't go into the nail salon and they were like, well, howdy, sir. Come on down, doing square dances and stuff. You know,
I'm terribly offended that you didn't realize I was obviously kidding.
I know you're kidding. I'm just lashing out.
Oh, you're yes anding also. I see.
Yeah, I'm kind of yes anding it, but I'm also lashing out, you know.
Yeah, we're so deep into this bit, I don't know who's serious and who's not.
Well, sometimes when someone's doing a bit and I try to like play some sort of straight man or some sort of reactionary thing to it, they go, I'm kidding. And I go, no, I know. I'm just kind of like playing along with you.
Yeah, I've had that same experience. I've had that since I was a kid. And I remember being like, it still like triggers me with my family. Like I would play along and they'd be like, no, you weren't. You're stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, of course I know that. And as I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, I still feel that feeling now. That's how I feel on like social media and watching the news unfold, is that I'm like, has everyone gone fucking mad?
Yeah.
And it's the same feeling from when you're a kid and like someone's like, yeah, boy, I can't even think of an example of like football is a crazy game, and they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, no, I know, I'm being silly. And they're like, no, you're not, you're fucking, you're an idiot. And I'm like, what? Of course I'm being,
dude. That was a great example because it led to me saying this example. It's like that feeling when you're saying, like, you're just saying a sentence and you say the word the way you know, you go like, I'll even do your thing, you're like, oh, I love football, and they're like, did you just say fat ball? And I'm like, no, I know what I said because I said it and I heard it. And I know I've been saying football. And they're like, no, dude, you just said fat ball. And you're like, no, I didn't. I don't. And but you don't know what they heard. You want to be like, did you hear it wrong? It can't possibly be me. You know?
Yeah, that sorry, I got, truth be told, your okay. thing initiated another thought in my mind that was like making me angry. And I got so angry that I didn't react to your thing. But I was okay. When I was in high school, I was doing like radio announcements and I was talking about the Patriots and I said Foxborough Stadium. And then the teacher was like, you said Foxborough. And I was like, no, I said Foxborough. They sound similar. And he was like mad. And I was like, here's how I can tell you I didn't say Foxborough. I don't even think that's funny.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's a good joke to say Foxborough instead of Foxborough. So I'm like, it's not even a bit to just like to slip in fuck is not even funny to me.
What if he thought maybe you, him confronting you and you denying it, maybe that's what he thought you thought was funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he thought that I thought that's what you thought. I was thinking.
I hate it. Hate this sentence. These sentences.
Yeah.
Too much of that word. Thought.
This podcast just hit the skids.
We really hit a wall. But you know what they say when you hit a wall? Why don't you take a second and lean?
I've never heard that. Boy, you're doing a lot of reading. You're like hitting the self-help shit. I can feel
I'm
it.
I'm really trying to better myself. You know, I'm 39 days into not drinking. I feel completely just better. I have no urge to go back. Every once in a while, a little bit, like New Year's was kind of tough. And yesterday was tough for a second because I got put into this group chat with these two people that normally you would go like, yo, what are you doing this weekend? Let's get fucking hammered.
Right.
And then I just had to be like, let's get dinner. How are you guys? You know? So that feeling of wanting to drink came back up a little bit. But again, I kind of look at my sober counter and I go like, you're doing great. You know, you're bettering yourself. I did start smoking cigarettes a little bit, but not that much. I know. It's so bad. But like, I just can't get addicted to cigarettes. Like I've been smoking. This is so funny to say after I can't get addicted, but I have been smoking since I was like 14, but I'll buy a pack. And then like, I'm like, I don't even want this anymore. I'll give it away or something like, and it's still that.
It's so fascinating to me because there's people like that. Nick DiPaolo, who I talked about earlier, was always like that. He would just bum a cigarette like once a weekend or something, like every once in a while. And my friend Jason Canner's like that. He'll smoke a cigarette when he has to shit because nicotine helps you shit. So he'll be like, I think I'll have a cigarette. I want to shit. And so it's so fascinating to me because I understand cigarettes are the most addictive thing and all this shit. And it's worse than heroin and alcohol, blah, blah, blah. And then there are people that just like have an occasional cigarette. Like we were in France and Paris, Sarah and I was like, let's have some cigarettes because that's what you do in France.
Yeah.
And it was delightful. So it is interesting that I guess if you're like mindful about it, you can not.
Well, you know, yeah, that's exactly it. You have to be kind of mindful about the addiction, I guess, where, you know, the other day we all go for walks and everything. So I was going for a walk and normally I would grab the pack of cigarettes and be like, I'll smoke a cigarette while I'm walking. And I looked at it and I just went, don't grab the cigarettes. Just go for the walk. You don't need the cigarette. Go for the walk. And I just did. And then 3 days went by where I didn't have a cigarette. And then today I was like, oh yeah, I looked at the pack and I went, oh yeah, I still have cigarettes. So I smoked like the last two today.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, I'm like that with food and sex. I mean, I'm an addict. So like anything pleasurable, I can't not do it. Cookies, like every once in a while, someone will send me chocolate chip cookies. And I'm like, nah, I eat all those. Like I'm going to eat them. There's no question about it. I feel that way with fucking soup. I bought a bunch of cans of like chicken noodle soup, Campbell's soup. And I had four like in a row. Like
in a day?
In a row, like in like 15 minutes. I mean, they're little cans. They're like a regular little, I don't know, they're small.
Oh, okay.
But it's a bowl. It's a bowl of soup. And I just kept eating bowls of soup and like cracking them like beer. I was like, and like you peel it back and you're like, yeah. And I fucking screw them across. Yeah. But it was like insane. I'm like, oh, I'm just drinking right now. Cause I haven't drank in plus years or whatever. And I still do things that I'm like, this is drinking right now. Like I'm drinking, you know, bottles of water or green tea. I just keep going back and getting more green tea or a chocolate chip cookie every day. I'm like,
wow, that's so interesting. But like, you got to look at it like, okay, I'm having a cookie. I'm not losing my mind and shitting in a woman's shoe. I'm having a cookie. You know, that's how I'm looking at it. Like the reason I stopped drinking was I was having too many personal rock bottoms in a row. It was getting brutal, dude. Like even like nothing that's like crazy, but even when you invited me to the park and I couldn't go because I was too hungover and I overslept. Right. That's like a, you know, because I really cherish relationships and I really cherish like friendships and stuff. And, you know, not being able to go and spend the time on this earth that I have with people that I love because I'm hammered or I'm too drunk or I overslept or something. It's like, that's a real personal rock bottom for me. So that was one of the things that made me want to stop drinking.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, I appreciate that. It was a great hang too. We had a nice time. Oh yeah. Cause you texted and we were already out at lunch. We all went to Shake Shack. It was great.
And that's when I woke up.
Yeah. That's brutal. No, that was a fun day. That was the last time. That was the last day of indoor dining in New York. And we had like seven of us in the basement at Shake Shack. I want to really just hammer this home.
I would have loved that.
It was a great group. And Louis C.K. was there, who I just assume is your fucking idol. And
gave each other blowjobs.
Yeah, he just gave each of us $2,000. It was so weird, just randomly in cash.
He told us how proud of him we are, or whatever, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, bad sentence, but no, that was a fun day. But I had the same thing. Like, you start to two comments that you brought up. One is, so let me just remember this one, but one is like, I do lose sight because it's been so long since I drank. It is easy to lose sight of the fact that, like, oh, by the end of the day, I'm like, that was an accomplishment, I didn't drink. Like early on in sobriety, you've been sober for 39 days. You're like, I went another day without drinking. But it's hard to do that when you're in your ninth year.
Yeah.
So I do have to actually remind myself that I'm like, all right, I had a chicken parm sandwich and a cigar, or I had two chocolate chip cookies. But like you said, I didn't drink fucking 48 drinks. I responded to everybody that I needed to talk to today. I recorded my podcast. And that's what becomes great in sobriety, is that like any accomplishment is good. You're like, I just did what I had to do today. I fucking woke up. I brushed my teeth. I wouldn't brush my teeth when I was drinking. I'm like, I'm too drunk.
Yeah.
And I'd wake up with just like a layer of fucking Captain and Coke sugar. And now all my teeth are fucking rotting out.
Dude, it's fucking really bad, man. Like, I left my phone in an Uber and we were supposed to film that day. And the guy actually, like, I was so drunk. I got home at 6 o'clock in the morning, left my phone in the Uber, woke up. I was like, oh, fuck. I luckily I have an iPad. And I FaceTimed the guy and he picked up. I FaceTimed myself. He picked up my phone and I was like, hey, man, can you please bring my phone back? And he's like, I'll be there in 2 hours. And I go, all right. So I go, OK, that gives me, there's no way I can't sleep right now. I have to go to sleep. I'm fucking done. And I overslept. I wake up. Like so many hours later. We're supposed to film. I call him back. He goes, what happened, man? Where were you? I was like, please come back. Please come back. He comes back. I get my phone. I snatch it out of his hand and I give him $40. That's $40 plus the Uber. So now I'm spending $70 on this Uber, which is money I don't have. And he wanted $100. He was asking me for $100, and we got into this big argument, just a conflict now that I have to be in. And I just told him, I went, hey, I have my phone, so you're not getting any more money. So wow. Bye bye. So that was another thing. I had a girl tell me that she didn't want to be with me because I was a drunk. It was all of this stuff that I just needed to fucking get past.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, 39 days is great. And, the first 90 day when I got sober, my wife, then girlfriend, was like, who was sober a few years already. She was like, the first 90 days, don't worry about anything except not drinking. So really live it up. Get fat, eat shit, dye your hair a stupid color if you want. Yeah.
I can't get any more fat.
Well, but you can at least eat whatever you want to eat. Don't beat yourself up for not eating, for eating a pizza or whatever, because like you said a moment ago, it's better than drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. So now I'm really just trying to strip myself of all ego and really just try to like figure out who I am as a person, you know, which is so, so hard.
Yeah, well, it's tricky. Are you getting help for that?
I see Alan. I talk to Alan.
Yeah, well, Alan's something.
But real help, no.
yeah, I'm talking to Alan this week. I miss Alan. What does Alan say about all this?
He's proud, you know. It feels like he feels like a, like, you know, there's so many people in our lives that we look at as fathers, you know, but they're all different kinds of. Alan to me is like a dad that I would actually look to another person to be my father because he was my dad.
Right.
That
right.
Makes any sense. He's like, I mean, he's telling me he's proud of me and everything. I want to get him to tell me he loves me, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
What? He's never said, I love you. I don't mean to make you feel bad, but really?
He said he loved you to you
all the time. He ends every call with that. He's like,
what?
I love you.
No, oh, you're yeah. fucking with me. He says, I love you to you.
I swear to God. I mean, I don't want to cause any problems here.
No,
but
we're
yeah.
not going to, I'm not going to break up with him, but.
Let me ask you this. Have you said I love you to him?
No.
I think if you, I'll just say this. He did initiate the I love yous in our relationship, but you initiate, you might get one back. I don't know.
Yeah. I have been going to him for about 2-3 years. So I feel like I love you is kind of, you know, I feel like a girlfriend now.
I'm coming up on 4 years. My first I love you probably was only, I think my first I love you was during pandemic. So... Oh. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You
well,
got a year or so.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel more comfortable with him now. You know, I feel like we do like each other. I've always liked him, but I never felt like he liked me. You know, I always felt like he was always rolling his eyes at my problems. But now I feel like he did say he was proud of me. He said, I'm proud of you.
Proud of you is in some ways better than love. Because proud is like active, you know, you it's a feeling where love is like, I love you. That just means like, I'll be upset if you die. But proud is like, I'm impressed, I think.
Yeah, he did say that. I said, I made a joke as we were leaving. I said, maybe I'll kill myself, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just a joke. Then he goes, don't kill yourself. I'll be very upset. And I was like, all right, that's a start, baby.
That's pretty good.
A start. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. Now, do you talk to your therapist? Alan is our therapist, by the way, if no one's picking this up. Alan is my dad. What's your name? Brendan.
My name is Brendan. So nice to meet you.
Full disclosure. I almost said Greg because I had just shot a video with Greg Stone yesterday. And then we were on the phone like a moment before this,
okay.
Which we had to start late. So yeah. I guess what it is I just wish I was talking to Greg Stone.
Me too. I wish I wish you were talking to Greg and I was just listening.
Okay. So Alan, there's an episode with Greg Stone, Mindful Mental Jacket. Everybody subscribe, check it out. Do you talk to Alan on the phone or do you guys like FaceTime or something?
We FaceTime. We do it on Skype.
See, this is like crazy. Him and I talk on the phone and I'd like to be FaceTiming. I don't know what this is. So
ask him to FaceTime. What are you talking about? He said to me when he was coming back from he goes, do you want to talk on the phone? He's like, when he was in Vermont or something, he was like, I don't have any Wi-Fi right now. So do you want to talk on the phone? I went, if we're on the phone, I won't be paying attention. I will just be, I'll be like walking around. I'll be picking receipts up and making little origami birds and throwing them. I won't be paying attention. So I said, I'll wait until you're back and we'll do it on FaceTime. And now that's what we do.
Wow. Yeah. I got to change this up because I'm just like you. I'm on the phone and I find the phone so distracting. This is what I like about Zoom. Like, I hope Zoom continues post pandemic because it is nice because you're kind of sitting. You have to be stable and we're sitting here talking to each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I desperately want to do anything but this, but I feel like you can see me. So we got to focus on it.
Yeah, you have to be smiling and laughing at my jokes. Well, you don't have to be laughing, but I will be incredibly offended if you're not completely present.
Yeah, we have to nod along. But on the phone, it is hard because like you walk around, you look at shit and... it's just hard because I'm like, even in my own house, I'm noticing, I'm like, oh, there's some dust over there. Or, oh, that book I haven't looked at in a while. It is distracting.
Yeah. And I haven't cried in therapy yet. But if I do on Zoom, you can just go like this just cry a little bit and then come back and be like, sorry, I just had to do something over there.
Yeah. Well, that's what I miss about therapy. I mean, I'm starting to feel, I don't know about you. I mean, we did, you were on the show pre-pandemic. Was it during the pandemic? You came to my house.
It was pre. It was right before, because I had just broke up with my girlfriend like 2 weeks beforehand. So I have done this podcast. So this is the second time in very fragile states, which is what I enjoy. I think I'm at my best when I'm incredibly, you know, just like stripped down and fragile. So I don't know where that didn't answer your question at all, but or you didn't even have a question. That didn't answer what you said. I'm just very into talking about myself.
There was a question. I was wondering, I'm like, was it during pandemic? And it was before pandemic. We did it in my newly received basement.
Mm-hmm.
And you had just been through a breakup. But no, I think everybody's at their best in a weird way when they're like raw like that. I remember when I got like the norovirus, which is just like puking and shitting crazy, like the sickest I've ever been in my life. Ugh. And Sarah and I were out in Long Island and I was like so emotional because I had just been throwing, I feel like I was dying. Like literally I was like, I think I might be dying. This is crazy. Like I would go into the shower and just throw up and diarrhea at the same exact time. Like just.
That's got to feel kind of good though. Does it feel kind of good?
It was bad. Like here's the worst part about it. And I don't want to gross everybody out. The worst part was I would feel like I was going to be sick and it would take 10 full minutes before I started vomiting. Like between the time I like go into the bathroom to be over the toilet and then the time I finally started was like, I just felt like, like for like literally 10 minutes. It was horrible, God. Horrible. And yeah. I was just so emotional, but I would have like, I was throwing up in 20 minute intervals and in the between, we were watching TV and Home Alone was on. First, it was Home Alone because it was Thanksgiving time. And then it was Rocky. And both movies, which are two of my favorite movies, made me like sob. And I still remember that the scene with the old man. And he's like, how you feel about your family is a complicated thing. And I was like, he's just like screaming. But I had been like so weak. It was like it stripped down all these layers.
Yes.
Because I was sick. That when I heard it, and then same with Rocky, when he's like, I just want everyone to know I'm not just another bun from the neighborhood. There are lines from movies that made me emotional.
Oh, God. I have never seen Rocky, and just you saying that line, that hits me in such a hard place. Like, it really hits my heart.
Oh, you should watch Rocky. It's like, it's unbelievable. And first of all, it's like, what are you doing?
I know. My own personal Rocky is 8 Mile.
But that's a good movie too, I guess. But but no, Rocky. I mean, the first Rocky is like a beautiful like character study of a guy who feels like a loser and is a loser, and just has this one opportunity. Like I said, and then that's like the essence of the movie. He's sitting there talking to his girlfriend, and he's like, "I just need to prove to everyone that I'm not just another bum." And spoiler,
I might cry. If you say that one more time, I might cry.
Well, wait till you see Rocky say it. I mean, it builds up to something.
Wait till you see this Rocky guy say it.
I mean, it's really something. And they do a lot of time establishing that him and his girlfriend and his friend are all fucking losers. And it's not even like mistakable. They are. They're fucking losers. So it's a beautiful film, but anyways, you should get really sick to your stomach and watch it then, because it'll hit that much harder.
I've been trying. I'm eating Burger King like crazy, dude. It's insane. There's a 24-hour Burger King right by me, so I'm always wharfing that down.
Wait, so you are eating whatever you want then?
Yeah, I mean, I've lost, I guess 12 pounds already. Just actively trying to lose weight, I've lost 12 pounds. I did lose 18, and then I started putting the I started eating Burger King and stuff and just kind of losing sight of wanting to lose weight and kind of gained some pounds back. But I am less heavy than I was a couple of months ago.
That's good. I mean, do you think a lot of it's the not drinking, or you're actively dieting, but now you're coming off with the Burger King?
It's the latter. I'm actively dieting, but now the Burger King is kind of, it's just so easy and cheap, you know?
Right. So that's what I was saying earlier with like, if you're quitting drinking and you're 39 days and you're in your first 90 days, I wouldn't worry too much about dieting, because it just gives you something to, don't get me wrong, you need to diet, but no, but like it just gives you something more to worry about and disappoint yourself, and that could lead you to drinking, because staying sober is the most important thing. That's why they say in recovery, like the first 90 days, just focus on being sober for 3 months, because if you're like, you know, it just takes one time of like, I wanted to eat a salad, but I got a double cheeseburger. I'm a piece of shit. I might as well drink because I had a double cheeseburger, which is what I do with food. You know, I have reflux and all this shit and I want to just be healthy. Mm-hmm. So for me, once if I go to my parents' house or whatever, they make cinnamon rolls and I'm like, all right, well, I ate 3 cinnamon rolls. Then for lunch, I'm like, I might as well get a pizza because I already had cinnamon rolls. And then in the nighttime, I'm like, well, let's just get Wendy's. I already had pizza and cinnamon rolls. And that's how it's like that slippery slope.
Wendy's is the best, dude.
It really is.
It's so good. Everything you just said is like, I also get that, but I do have this thing in my head that if I had 3 cinnamon rolls, there will be the guilt in my self, my brain that's just like, dude, you had 3 cinnamon rolls. You can't have a pizza. You can't have the Wendy. I might have the Wendy's, but I wouldn't have the pizza. You know, if that makes any sense, I'd be like, don't have the pizza. And then hours would go by and I would go, wow, you know, I had that cinnamon roll at noon. So, and it's been 8 hours, I can get Wendy's. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. See, that for me is like, that's why it's so tricky with sobriety. That's why we can't have a drink, because once I have one, I'm like, well, I might as well have 2, and I might as well have 500 of them.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets so, you have to stop altogether. And I feel that way with food too, with like my reflux. I just decided to be like, well, I'll just suffer a little bit. But that's why for me, diet is so difficult, because even if you suffer, like the worst case scenario, it's like you're heavier than you want to be, or you feel like shit, but nothing really horrible is happening. It could be doing damage down the road. Where drinking, you drink that night. I'm like, I texted my ex-girlfriend. Fucking called my friend a piece of shit. I crashed my car. I shit all over a girl's house, or whatever it is.
It's too risky, man. It's like, I just looked at it like it's all going downhill, and even the fun times aren't really that fun. I feel like it's like in a movie where the beginning is the guy getting hammered and it's a big party and everything's fun. And then later on in the movie, he's at the same party, goes to the same place, and his drinking is just looking around going like, I've done this before. That's how I felt. I'm like, I've been here before. I'm not having fun. Like, I'm just in purgatory right now. I need to become a better person. I need to change this, because I'm also riddled with anxiety, not drinking. Now put poisoning myself on top of that. And it's just was bad.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel, is like I'm subject to depression and anxiety as is. So adding a depressant, which is what alcohol is, and then you start making such horrible decisions that are just going to contribute to your anxiety, where like, again, I wake up and I'm like, what did I drove home? That's insane. Am I going to get arrested? Did I kill somebody? Or, you know, I mean, so many things. It just gives you so much more anxiety, because for me, it was like, what did I say? I was talking to so-and-so and I don't even remember what I was saying.
Yeah.
And also for me, anyways, it was like career shit, where I was like, I haven't written a joke. I know I'm better than this. I haven't fucking made a tape. I haven't written anything.
100%. Yeah. It's also like, you know, like you have to account for 1.5 days. When you're getting hammered, you go, okay, well, from 8 to 4 a.m., I'm going to be just a fucking blob of a person who has no idea what he's saying or doing. I'm going to be hammered. And then the next day, I have to account for being hungover all day tomorrow. So it's just like, you know, losing time. And then, like, I'm always depressed and I'm always anxious. And I just don't want to be hungover or drunk at that time. When you're drinking, that stuff does go away, but it comes back with like this harsh vengeance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it comes back like tenfold. Yeah, that's the loop you get in, is that the only way to cure a hangover or quell the anxiety is to drink, and then the drink, and that makes it more anxiety and more self-loathing. I mean, that's something I obviously still struggle with, but not drinking really turns down the volume on the self-loathing. That's how I felt. I would drink and be like, you're a piece of shit. And I was manic, essentially. I was always the guy, obviously we never drank together, but I was always like, this is the fucking best night ever. I fucking love you guys. Like, this is crazy. Like, think about how amazing this is. And then 20 minutes later, I'd be like, you guys hate me. We're all going to die. Think about eternity, man. That's how long we're going to be fucking dead for. And I would turn on people all the time and be like, fuck you. You fucking suck. You hate. And then there was nights where like I would do like 3 hours of just being really mean to somebody because I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, you don't see that they're not laughing at it, or like maybe they're laughing to appease you just because they just in for social awareness. They're like, ah, good one, Joe. Yeah, totally. I am a fucking dildo, huh?
Right.
And no, then that, you double down. You're like, yeah, and you're fat and ugly. Okay.
Yeah. No, that happened all the time. So I say good for you. And I think you should get some more help, some group help. I think that would be good.
Well, I have been people. Like, you know, I've been thinking about it, but I'm taking it very incredibly slow. You know, it's all very fragile right now. It's all very like, I kind of have to, but I will say this, the thought of going into like, you know, a group kind of thing was scary at first, but now I'm like, I think I can do it. I just don't want to, right? I'm like, maybe it's not that I don't want to, but I'm just like, just handle this right now. And then, because that is still very hard, but it was incredibly anxious for me to do. Now it's lowering. The bar is lowering of like, I think I can do this. It was going from I'll never do that to I think I can. So
yeah, maybe that's eventually. Great. And I got news for you. You can't on your own. It's just not going to work. Like a whole shitload of people have already tried it and lived it. And the answer is you can't. And it's ugly on the other side, because what happens is when you're, and I don't want to get too in depth here, but when you're, if you're a fucking problematic drinker and then you stop, the alcoholism is progressing with you. You don't, if you start again, it's not like you're starting over and you're like, now I start the way I did when I first drank when I was 15 or whatever. You didn't drink the way as if you had continued. So all the feelings you're talking about are just waiting for you.
Oh yeah.
And getting help in a group is just, it's just the best, which is not just the nature of sobriety, but anything. That's why they have people that are veterans get together with group therapy. There's family therapy. People that have been molested have group therapy. It's just so nice. It's the same with hanging with comics in the back of a room, in green room.
Yeah.
So whatever everyone's dealing with, if you're, you know, a child of incest or molestation, go to a fucking group. Or people with cancer survivors, people whose parents have been murdered, whatever.
There's groups for people that are in love with drug addicts. Like they don't even have a problem. Their problem is that they're in love with drug addicts. Like isn't that a group where
Al-Anon
is a, is that what that is?
That's what Al-Anon is. Yes. Well, that's for alcoholics. Oh. That's for people who's are in families of alcoholics.
Wow, they got groups for everything, man. You know, it really just comes down to not talking and just listening, right?
Well, listening is big. I mean, talking helps as well, because when you talk, somebody else is listening. So, you gotta get what's on your tits off your tits. But
it's so strange that like I feel the answer for everything is in silence, but there's the answer for everything is also in speaking to people and talking to people. So it's like this weird thing that's constantly like, you know, butting heads in my opinion, in my head or my brain. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, if we just stop talking and we're just silent and we just listen, we can really think of the answers for the world and how to fix things. But we also need to talk to people and we need to tell people how we feel.
Yeah. You're going to have to communicate those things you thought of while you were in silence, but well, there is something that, I mean, that's like the Pete Seeger song, or I guess it's from the Bible also. I don't know. I think he was ripping off the Bible, but there's a time to love and a time for war and a time for silence and a time for, you know, anal. whatever it is.
Oh, wow. Is that the Third Testament?
I think so, yeah. I don't know much about the Bible because I'm not a nerd, but...
yeah, until it's your face.
But... what the fuck is this? I thought we were trying to be nice and helpful.
I'm so sorry, but that was really funny. Just watching that happen to you was.
Your hair is painted yellow. You have like purple fingernails.
I know. I got a lot of issues, but you know, I'm still gonna zip and zap. You know.
No, I hear you. But no, so silence is obviously great. Meditation is something I do every morning and at night. And I know you like silence when you perform. I know that's important for you.
Oh, God. Here comes all the face revenge.
No, I have noticed that you prefer like a room full of silence when you're doing your act. And that's cool. You
know? I like that. I like when people take it in instead of laughing. That's what the whole album is. It's just me saying a premise and then getting nothing.
Oh yeah. Let's good work sneaking that in because I do want to plug this in. Cause the reason Brendan is on a second time, I would normally never have him on for a second time.
I was surprised you had me on for a first time.
Yeah. That time was a mistake. And this time I felt bad, but I thought you were somebody else. I thought it was Brendan Walsh. But yeah,
I have an album that should be out. If you're releasing this after, it should be out right now.
I'm releasing this Thursday.
Okay, well then tomorrow my album, Not Now More Than Ever, will be out on everywhere. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes probably tomorrow, on Friday. If you're listening to this on Thursday, if you're listening to this after Thursday, get my album.
Yeah. So I thought, yeah, it comes out the 22nd then.
Yeah, it comes out the 22nd. Oh, did I give you the wrong date? Yeah, the label told me the 21st, and then I had already sent out all of my can I do your thing little, you know, those rounds. So it comes out the 22nd. It's called Not Now More Than Ever. I did it on a roof in September. So there's a lot of jokes about the pandemic and stuff.
Great. That's what people want to hear.
Okay, well, are we recording? Was this, are you?
No, I'm
we trying teasing, to we're trying to sell something here, or
yeah, I'm joking. I'm the joke
I know,
is that
I know I know I like, I'm yes ending
the joke I'm, is that you put that in there, that's how you sell it. You're giving me shit. You're like, are you trying to sell this or what? I'm like, you're like, yeah, it's just a bunch of pandemic jokes.
No, it's other jokes. It's wait, you really want me to sell it? It's what I've been working towards my entire career. 10 years has all accumulated to this moment. Blah 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 blah. It's a big moment because I like albums better than specials. Like
me too.
Someone's first album, like you listen to like, you know, Burr's album, you can hear the receipts coming out and all that. Like you can hear glasses clinking and we did it outside, so you hear like below sometimes. Oh, you know, fun. I like that. I think that's fucking punk rock. I think that's cool.
No, I agree. I'm album over special, and I've always said that because an album, at least, you can listen to with your earbuds or airbuds, whatever the fuck they're called. Airbud, great movie. Mm-hmm. You can put them in and close your eyes and you're part of the audience. You're there. Whereas a special, it's like you're watching an audience watch. You're sitting by yourself. You're not like part of the
crowd. And like every time they change camera angles, it takes me out of it. So it's like, you know, a good special leaves you on the face or whatever, you know, it leaves the camera there for a little bit longer just because there is that, I think, that a lot of people feel the camera changes and you're like, oh, well, yeah, I forgot that I'm in my room watching this and not at this comedy club. But as an album, you could just close your eyes and you just feel like you're in at your table with all these other people listening to this guy.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I said. So,
oh, really? Great. Great.
We got to come back together here. I mean, this is too much. People are going to be mad.
People think we're not friends.
People are going to say, hey, these guys are assholes. But
no.
So first of all, it sounds like you're in the rocky position. This is like the night before the fight. You're trying to prove you're not a bum from the neighborhood.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, hopefully it's I can prove myself. You know, that's the anxiety. I mean, this whole week I've been just feeling all over the place emotionally. It's all good stuff. You know, I'm getting nothing but positive feedback from it. And the negative feedback, if any, I just ignore because we're so used to that. That's like, okay, whatever. But I've just been like, I don't know. I don't feel in control. I feel this numbness, but also this anger. I woke up today angry. I've been sad yesterday. I felt melancholy the day before, which is like a type of sadness. And I just haven't felt happy this week. I haven't felt content, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe if you talk to a group of like-minded people, that might help, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah. And one of the things we talk about is like so often you wake up with fear, ego, and resentment. Those are like the three things that sort of rule our lives so often is that. Yeah. And that's how I wake up with, I'm afraid that everybody hates me or that we're all going to die. I have my ego is like, I got to put something out because if not, I'm a piece of shit. And then I have resentment to, I mean, so many things, more things than people now at this point, I guess things, but I don't want to get into that. And it's hard. You have to sort of like counteract those things. And a lot of times it's just about being with those feelings and not trying to change them. And I felt that way this morning. I was walking around and I was feeling really sad. And I got some family shit going on. And there is also, it's traumatic what we're going through. Like the idea of like, you know, we haven't had big groups together, which is what we are as a species is fucking, you know, and you're a music guy. Like we go to concerts, we do comedy shows with 100, 200 people in them in the room and all that shit. And sporting events, I go to sporting events all the time. So it does get weird. You're not seeing people smiling. You're seeing less people. And I'm not going to sporting events. When I do watch sports, there's nobody in the crowd. There's no concerts. And there is also this like tons of fucking death around us. We're hitting 400,000 deaths.
Yeah.
Which is, it's traumatic. So it's important to remind yourself or ourselves that like we should be feeling fucking sad. It would be weird if we weren't feeling sadness and anger at what's going on. I mean, and everything moves so fast. Like a week ago, we had basically an act of civil war in our country. Like, you're like, that's fucking traumatic. That's insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no matter what side you're on politically, regularly, I mean, you can't be on, if you're on that side, you're a fucking dipshit. I'm sorry. I know I don't want to alienate people, but if you're like, yeah, we should be breaking into the Capitol, just fuck off, fuck your parents, you know, whatever. But maybe I'm part of the problem for saying that, but it is traumatic to watch the news and see thousands of people like kicking in the door of like a government building and being like, what's going on? And people beating a cop with a flag.
Yeah, dude. It's just the constant surrounding of violence and everything. Like even, you know, when that woman was killed there, you know, there was still like, you know, there were some people, you know, some people on Twitter or whatever being like, yeah, you know, like finally someone on the other side gets killed or whatever. But I still felt that sadness of like when someone who I agree with gets murdered, it's still a human losing their life. You know, there's still that sadness of like she didn't know that she was going to get shot and killed that day. I mean, she should have. If you're storming the Capitol, you should know bullets will be flying, but still she's just a person with these emotions and everything that just is now dead. And that's what's really sad about that whole thing.
Yeah. There's death all day. Like that. We're like numb to like 4,000 people a day are dying. And then there's all the regular people that are dying. And so then it becomes sad. Also, it becomes traumatic that sort of everyone we know and love is like struggling to some degree, whether it be financially, emotionally. I mean, think about how traumatic it is to be like, everyone I know and love is having a difficult time right now. Obviously, some are doing better than others. And I'm fortunate my family like are all have what's deemed essential jobs. So no one in my family's lost their jobs. A lot of them are miserable for other reasons, but and I'm also lucky in that because they're essential workers, most of my family, they're getting the vaccine, which is nice. And I do think there is like hope to be had. There was an article yesterday in the Times that said the vaccine is like crazy effective and they're like downplaying it and all this stuff. Yeah. So I do think there's hope. But my whole point is that everybody, it's important to just feel those feelings and know that they're natural. Like we tend to, or I tend to anyways, I shouldn't speak for everybody. I tend to beat myself up when I'm feeling sad. I'm like, I should be fucking happy. I'm a comedian. I'm healthy. I'm young. You know, I got a decent penis, but I beat myself up. I'm like, you're fucking sad. I can't believe you're sad. You don't deserve to be sad.
Yeah.
But we do.
Dude, I do that all the time. I even get, you know, you made a really good point about like the other people suffering is like, that's really affecting me too. Like I have a friend who's she's like a long hauler where she lost her sense of smell and everything. And it's like fucking her up. She can't get any sleep and that's driving her crazy. And the fact I can't even help. Like I want her pain to end so badly that it's making me feel just so terrible. You know, it's right. Making me feel awful. Because there's nothing I can do except for, I don't know, be there for her, I guess, you know, but, you know, I don't know if someone's losing their mind. I just feel like, should I leave them alone? Should I let them or should I be there for it? I don't know what to do. It's driving me crazy.
Well, yeah, I guess all you can do is say, what can I do for you to the person?
Yeah,
if anything. But and that's part of it, too, is like. And this is what we talk about in sobriety all the time is like trying to be available for someone else or step out of our own heads and our own problems and try to kind of be of service to somebody. And you're like, what can I do? I could go, I don't know, fucking shovel someone's walkway or carry someone's groceries or leave a nice tip for a delivery person or I don't know. I mean, with comedy, I mean, to me, doing an album is service. A lot of people are going to get a nice break from whatever it is because of the album. Go buy the album, everybody. It's called Not Again Something. What is it?
Why does everybody have a problem with this? It's called Not Now More Than Ever. It's
Not Now. Well, I just heard about it for the first time 4 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, it's like Now More Than Ever, but not now. You know, little
I like it.
Comedy twist.
I think it's great. Not Now More Than Ever is available tomorrow from Brendan Sagalow. Mm. And so that's a nice thing to do. I mean, you created something that didn't exist before. It's filled with laughs and it gives people a nice little break. So I consider that service to the community.
Well, that is a nice way that I'm going to try and manipulate my head into thinking just so, you know, because doing this, I wasn't like, I can't wait to give back to the people. This was more of a selfish endeavor, but it is, you know, I will try to manipulate my conscious into thinking that I'm doing it for people. I know that it's nice, but I would be lying if I said that's why I did it.
But that doesn't matter why you did it. It is what it is. So I'm a believer of no matter what someone's motivation is, if they're doing something nice, they're doing something nice. So, and there's one theory, some fucking philosopher had a theory that like every single thing we do is a self-centered action. So like, even if you're like, I'm going to donate $5,000 to a homeless person or whatever it is, or buy a homeless person, I'm going to bring a homeless person into my house, shower them up and give them clothes, that it's still self-centered because you secretly or subconsciously think I'll feel better after doing this.
Oh yeah. What is that called? There's a name for that. Oh, fuck.
I don't know. I'm not,
that's
going to
kill me, man. That is going to kill me. There's an actual name for that theory. But yeah, I used to talk to my dad about that all the time about like, do you think that we do good for other people or are we doing it for ourselves? Because when even it like the you know, the purest form of doing something for someone because it makes them happy, it makes us happy to see them happy. So are we doing it for them or are we doing it for ourselves?
Right. Yeah. So that's the debate, I guess. But my stance is it doesn't matter what the intention is. If it's good, it's good. You're still doing good for that person. And by doing good for yourself, that's doing good for everybody because your disposition and behavior and your feeling affects everybody. I mean, we truly all are interconnected. So, I mean, we all know people, especially in comedy, that people that show up and you're like, oh, fuck, this fucking guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's the people that show up and you're like, hey, all right, that guy. There's
certain people.
And we get a choice in life which kind of person we want to be. like, that's why I'm always blown away by the people that are like, oh, I'm like a dick. That's my thing. And I'm like,
I hate that. I hate that so much. The people whose personality is like, I'm a bitch. And it's like, well, you could not be that. You know, you can really actively not be that.
Yeah, you're like, what a bummer. And so yeah. It does affect everybody. So my point is also like, so making yourself feel better is also an act of kindness to everybody else. Assuming the way you make yourself feel better isn't to like just fucking fuck everyone you can and whatever, throw garbage at homeless people because it's funny, which it is. But if you're doing something for somebody else and that makes you feel better, that's helping everybody, because the better you feel, it's like put your own oxygen mask on first. We have to take care of ourselves first in order for us to take care of everybody else. But ironically, one of the ways we feel better ourselves is to do stuff for other people.
Yeah.
And by the way, this podcast is also, I think, helping. I'm sure somebody's getting something out of this.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you this. I was feeling today very kind of bad. I felt horrible. I'm running away from the personal relationships that I have. I can actively see myself like cutting people out of my life because of how angry I am today or how upset I've been all week. And just even talking to you, I'm like, you know, it's completely reversed it. I have so many text messages to send after this to be like, how are you? How are you doing? I'm sorry. I haven't been around, you know, people probably don't even notice, but I have, you know, and I'm not going to be like, you probably didn't notice this, but I was cutting you out, you know, but so I have to, you know, now I feel better. And like, you know, I even going back to that, like, was it like, who's that philosopher? Kant? Isn't that who that is? Immanuel Kant?
I got an aunt that's a cunt.
What's going on in this country?
I don't know who Immanuel Kant is.
But that's, you know, that's like the, I think he said that because the thing about like, oh, are we doing good things for people or are we doing good things for us? He was the one that said, it doesn't matter. If you're doing good things, you're doing good things. And just that feeling of it doesn't matter and to accept that, like it's so based in acceptance that it just makes me feel my heart is warm. That could be the Burger King, but my heart is warm right now. You know, well,
I mean, first of all, I can't believe I didn't know who I was stealing that from, but I just wanted to get one more cunt joke in there.
Well, I got to tell you, my head just hurt trying to think of another one.
Yeah, that happens.
I just can't.
Coward of the Conti, wrath of cunt.
I tried to think of another one and I can't. I think you went over that with your own thing. But
yeah, Kant is just the same that I had.
Whatever.
Kant. country was good. I can't believe what's going on in this country. But anywho, yeah. Now imagine how you'd feel if you every day you spent an hour having a conversation like this with a group of people.
I'm sold. Would be, you sold me.
That would be great. Yeah, well, I should. And you should come by. I got plenty of links for you. But that's neither here nor there. Get help, everybody. That's what we're saying. And let's try to fucking be good people, right? Of service. Yes.
Good people that are good to ourselves and good to others, because it's so much harder to be, you know, it really is hard to be. It's so easy to be a negative person. Like I catch myself all the time saying, just mumbling to myself going, I hate my life. I say that like on a regular basis to a point where it's like detrimental to my mental health, because I'm saying I hate myself. I hate my life. And I'm saying that all the time. And it started like ironically, it's like when you say like when you're like saying slang ironically, and now it's just a part of your vocabulary. That's right. What happened. And now it's ingrained in me to be like, I hate my life. And that's becoming a mantra. And I had this thought the other day, cause I've been like free writing in a journal, which has been helping. And I was saying like, it's so easy to be the negative guy who's saying, I hate myself and I hate my life. And there's more people like that I can blend into. And maybe that's a part of it where I'm just trying to blend into these negative people, but who am I really? I could really be a positive light in my own life as well as other people. And that's something I can bring to the table. Whereas I feel being the negative person isn't bringing anything to the table and just like being the sad sack when I can actively try to be a light in the world, you know, which is so much harder. It's so hard to do that.
Yeah. And it's like that with everything, our baseline Negative, like you said, negative is just easier. It's easier to not work out. It's easier to not reach out. It's easier to eat shit than it is to eat healthy. But it's just a question of, do I want to spend my time miserable, or do I want to spend my time present and trying to be helpful to other people? And continuing to say I hate myself, which I do constantly myself. I have a special name that. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Great special.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, that stuff, it does have an effect, because you're deepening that groove for the needle to fall and get stuck in that I hate myself loop. And
yeah,
and you can actually change. There's so many crazy studies, but the brain is like plastic. You can reform your brain at any moment by reestablishing a narrative that, like, I'm not a piece of shit. I'm a pretty good person. And when you hear that I hate myself or I'm a piece of shit, you're like, oh, that's just my thoughts. That's my anxiety. That's my fear. And recognizing it as thought, which is the basis of mindfulness, and go, that's not reality. I mean, feelings are not facts, and all those fun colloquialisms or whatever it is. But fear is just fear. My thoughts are not reality, are things that I started saying to myself all the time. And it really is helpful. So I think we're cured.
I sure am. I need one good. I'm gonna watch Rocky. I'm gonna bawl my eyes out when he says that bum line, and then I'm just gonna kill myself in a fit of joy. I'm gonna go, I don't even need to be on this plane anymore. Let's go to the next thing.
Yeah, and that would be service to everybody.
You know? Yeah, especially be service to my longevity. I mean, or whatever that means. I feel like if I kill myself right before the album comes out, I'm a fucking legend, dude.
Oh yeah, not longevity. I think you mean what's that word? His not dynasty. His legacy.
Legacy. Oh yeah. God, how good does that feel?
That would be good for your legacy. Yeah,
that'd be good for my legacy. If I stay on this planet any longer, I'm just gonna tarnish the whole thing.
Yeah, you're like Costanza at the Yankees. My being in that my presence in that office can only hurt me. All right, we got to wrap it up. I think this was fantastic. What's the album again? Not Now More Than Ever.
Yes, Not Now More Than Ever. It's out tomorrow. It'll be on Spotify. If you can listen to it on Pandora, just make sure you give it a thumbs up and whatever. Just support me in every way possible.
Please. Yeah, go get the album. Brendan is absolutely hilarious. I can't wait to listen to it. I really will listen to it too.
That makes me feel so much anxiety.
Great. No, that's what I was going for. But, and then don't forget to, you text me tomorrow, Friday. Okay. So I can post it and all that good shit.
Great. I appreciate this, man. It's always good talking to you.
Yeah. And I hope to see you tomorrow at noon in my meeting. It's going to be fun.
I'll be there.
Hopefully. All right.
I
don't fully believe you, but
I don't fully believe myself either, but I'll try. I'm going to try.
You don't have to say
hard.
Anything. Just sit there. Don't even turn your camera on. But anyways, this is a conversation for another time, but that was Brendan Sagalo, and everybody be kind. And I hope I didn't alienate anybody by saying the people that rushed the Capitol are arch fucking criminals. And I should be empathetic. They bit a poison apple.
Look,
and,
yeah. Everybody's going through their own thing. They're all being fed these lies, and you know, everybody's just a human at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, my apologies if you were triggered. I assumed if you were, though, you're not still here. So who am I talking to, really? all right. This went on too long. Bye, everybody. I love you.
Mindful Metal Jacket is hosted by comedian Joe List. Produced by Joe List. Edited by Matt Kleinschmidt. Executive producers Robert Kelly and Matt Kleinschmidt for the Laugh Button Podcasts.